called Sunday. And you know, it's the birthing of the church. And obviously, Penta means 50, right? Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, where the Israelites were celebrating the freedom from Egypt and how God, the death angel, passed over them, and it became the Feast of First Fruits now in Pentecost. And you're the fruit of Pentecost. You're the fruit of it. And you guys are some good-looking fruits. I just got to admit, you are. But the fruit that came through Pentecost, the scripture says, you know, John the Baptist prophesied it in Matthew 3:11. He said, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and
fire."
That fire is to burn away that old thinking. Amen? You are who he says you are. End of discussion. He said, "You're beautifully and wonderfully made." Tell your neighbor, say, "That's me." He said, "You're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds." Tell your neighbor, say, "That's me." That's who you are. I don't care what anybody else said. That's who you are. That's what the fire of the Holy Spirit does, because he reminds you of what the Word of God says. That's all he does. He comes with the power and he says, "I'm going to remind you of who Jesus Christ is, and I'm going to say the same thing he said, and then you're going to do the same thing he did." That's what the fire of the Holy Ghost was for, is to transform not only our lives individually, I don't know about yours, but mine was the day I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But since then, we've been changing other people's lives. Amen? Listen, if the church isn't changing other people's lives, I wonder if they're baptized in the Holy Ghost. If people are not being transformed by us, tell your neighbor, say, "He's talking to you." Now it'll get quiet. Every single one of us in here, you were saved for a reason and a purpose, and that's to glorify him. The way we glorify him is tell others about him. And if we don't tell others about him, we're afraid because we fear man more than God. We had enough of that, amen? Just look your neighbor in the eye and tell him, "You don't scare me." I saw some of those husbands go like this. I saw that. So John the Baptist, he prophesied it. And then Jesus confirmed it in John 14:25-26. He said, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." He's going to remind you of all things. He's going to remind you the day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ and God took the power of the blood of Jesus and washed you and cleansed you and made you whole. You are whole right now. There's nothing lacking in you. You're whole. He lives in you. He called you his own. And as we prayed earlier, before the world was formed, he already prepared you for himself. And what he spoke over you in eternity is still true today. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many mistakes you've made. What he spoke over you in eternity, he's still expecting that to come to pass. Amen? Today, I got a call, because we only have a short time. And the pastor that actually started this church, he started, 96. Another pastor, he was down south. He was in South Carolina, Goose Creek, South Carolina, and he said, "God called me to the Northeast." And I was an elder in Greenville at the time, and we said, "Well, if you come back, we'll support you. We'll take care of your finances and your health insurance and stuff like that, and let's get something going in Hudson." And so he was here from 96 to 99, and in March 99, he turned it over to us, and he just passed away this morning. But you know what? What do you mean, oh? He was saved, sanctified, started churches, and now he's with the King of Kings. What do you mean, oh? Thank God for a life well lived. He changed people's lives. He preached the word of God. He brought people into the kingdom, got them baptized in the Holy Ghost, lived out his life in faith all the way to the end. That's how I want to go. I want to live my life in Christ all the way to the end. And whenever I go, do not go, oh.
If it's tomorrow, we can't
Yes, if it's tomorrow, you could go, oh, but I'm talking about when we're old. All right? But I'm serious. We need to get an understanding that what he spoke over your life is still true today. What he promised you is still true today. He hasn't withheld any promise from you. None. You say, yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know who I am. He knew you before the world was formed. And his promise was still yea and amen. Does he change his word? No. So the Holy Ghost is going to come to remind you of what he did on the day that you got saved. And then he's going to tell you, hey, these are all the things that Jesus did. All the things that he did, I want to remind you of what he did. And now that I live on the inside of you, you can do it too. Thanks, Gary. You can do it. That's what the Holy Ghost, Jesus said it. He said he will teach you all things and bring you into remembrance all that I said to you. And then Jesus, again in Acts 1:8, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. There's a reason for the power of the Holy Ghost. Not so that we just walk through, oh, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't you like to be me? That's how some people, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost and they tell nobody about the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, that's not me. Amen, not here. Listen, you don't tell people about the Lord, we throw you out of here. That goes for you people online too. No, we don't throw you out of here. But the power of God is for one purpose, that somebody else would hear about the good news, amen? You are good news. Because good news lives on the inside of you. He goes on, he said, you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. No matter how far he calls you from here, just go. Just go. God will supply. We've got the Hassingers are in Haiti. Gas is $10 a gallon. You can't even get diesel fuel. A hard time getting meat. They got to send Haitians down to buy meat to bring it to their house because it's not safe for them to go down in. They can't get meat to that part of the island anymore because there's so many roadblocks and so many problems. So now they're taking the medevac helicopter, flying it into the hospital, which is the compound they live in order to get meat. How hard is your life? And they've got over 300 kids coming every week telling them about Jesus Christ. They haven't left the compound hardly in about 4 years because of the gang violence and stuff. And that yet they said, I'm still going to stay here. This is where God's called me. So we need to reevaluate our lives because the baptism in the Holy Ghost wasn't so we could live in the lap of luxury and do nothing except what I want to do. Because we say it all the time that if nobody is sitting next to you, there's a problem. If nobody new is sitting next to you, there's a problem. Nobody knew. Acts 2, 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come. Oh, what a day that was. Amen. Here they were, fearful for their lives. Persecution came. Jesus was crucified. All of them scattered. He said, hey, he raises from the dead. Said, hey, tell them, go and wait for me. Because I got something for you. I want to give you something that's going to change everyone's life that believes for all of eternity. They were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them. And they were all, say all. All. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit had given them utterance. He baptized them so that they would be witnesses. He prepared them, and from this point forward, the church was born. It was birthed at this moment. Here's the church age. We had the Old Testament, everything under the law. Jesus came and fulfilled all the law. And God said, now I'm about to send all of my kids into the earth with the same power that Jesus had for all of eternity. He's had it for all of eternity. He said, I'm about to deposit it on anyone who believes. And this is going to be an overcoming power. This is going to be a disease-curing power. This is going to be a dead-raising power. This is going to be a power that saves entire families. This is going to be a power where nothing becomes impossible any longer. God said, I'm about to pour it out. In one moment, I'm going to pour it out, and then I'm going to have one touch another, touch another, touch another, so that it just keeps spreading because you can't stop it. And Lord knows, man has tried to stop it for eons. For eons, they tried to stop the word of God. You are the word of God on the earth. That's what happens when we read and we pray and we study the word of God, and then we are baptized with the Holy Ghost and we're reminded of who God says we are. We become those representations of Jesus Christ on the earth to show the earth the power, the beauty, and the magnificence of the King. Amen? To show his glory wherever we walk, so people's lives are changed. We cannot walk through life without changing people's lives. Yesterday, they had the Walk for Life over there in Catskill for the Alight Pregnancy Center. They're changing people's lives. Young ladies, their lives are being changed because somebody said, I'll stand. I'll stand. I'll even work there. Natasha goes to work there. They were firebombing them not long ago, the pro-life centers. They're spray painting them, smashing the windows, and burning them down. She said, oh, I'll come and work for you. She's got problems. Look at her parents. No, because she said, I want to change somebody's life. I want to use what I have to maybe save one baby, to change one lady's life, to change some young man's life, and let them see the value of life. You're valuable, and so is every baby. Look, there may be some illegitimate parenting going on, but there are no illegitimate children. Not one. Not one. Every single one of them were created by God himself. Every one of them. Tell your neighbor, say, you're not illegitimate. Amen. Hey, some people feel like that their whole lives. Some people have walked around and felt like they were a mistake. And they spend their whole lives not knowing who they are until someone like you tells them. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so blessed to be here with you. I got the best looking family there ever lived right here. Man, some of you guys need a haircut and a shave, but outside of that, that's a good looking family, all right? After coming of the coming of the Holy Ghost, the disciples didn't stay in one room. I want you to know this is where the church has gotten to. When the Holy Spirit came, the disciples did not stay in one room. They didn't build a bunch of shrines in there. They didn't try to carve out some fiery pieces of brass and say, everybody come to the upper room because this is where the Holy Ghost was poured out. They left the room. The only time they went back to the upper room was to go back and pray and then take off and go. And then they went out into the streets of the highways and the byways. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Cowards became conquerors. In one moment, when everybody was scattering, these men and women, 120 of them, all baptized in the Holy Ghost, all speaking in tongues, all. He said, it's for you and who else? Your children's children, and as many as call on the name of the Lord. It didn't end on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is still being poured out today for those who believe and want to receive it. Amen? That's how we walk in the power of God. His word and through his power. Pentecost is a pointer that history is inexorably moving towards the restoration of all things. This was a signpost, right? In Genesis, it was prophesied. You'll strike her heel and she'll crush your head. The Christ is coming. It was prophesied in Joel chapter 2. What did he say? I'm going to pour out my spirit. Right. And then what are the sons and daughters going to do? They're going to prophesy. And what else? Going to have dreams. You old guys, you're having dreams. Us young guys, we're prophesying. All right, we have visions. That's what he said. I'm going to give you dreams and visions through the Spirit. Write them down when you have them. Keep a book of dreams. Keep a book of your visions. Write them down because God's speaking to you through them. Pastor Dan Knapp over in Strong Tower, he shared yesterday at the men's breakfast, and he said the Holy Spirit will speak to the extent that you will listen. Can I tell you, he's always speaking, you know? And I shared, I don't know, but the Holy Spirit is a comforter. And God is both male and female, amen? And so we know that God always wants to speak to us, always, if we'll listen, right? And it's the same thing. The Holy Spirit is always speaking. Tell your neighbor, say, the Holy Spirit's always speaking. Right. He's the comforter, right? So God is both male and female. It's more of a female side of things because they're the comforters, amen? Yeah, and some of you men need to listen to your wives when they speak, right? And Lord knows you don't hear much when they speak a lot of times. It took a little while. It's getting there. It's getting there. The Holy Ghost wants to speak, but so many times we don't stop long enough to hear. Because you have got such big plans for the day. Oh, what you're going to do is just fantastic. What you're going to accomplish with your hands is going to change the world. Man, you go out there and get that garden planted, the world has changed forever. Just before the rabbits eat it right down to nothing. I'm gonna go out there, we're gonna build a deck. I don't have time, I gotta get to work. I got a lot to do today. I'm gonna change the world. And that deck's gonna rot within 10 years. I don't care if you use Trex. Still gonna rot in 10 years, the underside. But if we'll listen to the Holy Ghost through the power of God, and we'll write down what the Holy Spirit's going to say. Listen, this was a promise that was fulfilled. He said in Joel, it's coming. It's coming. It's going to be a different age that you're going to live in. We're living in a different age than they did in the Old Testament. Amen? But how many people take advantage of what God has already given? Right? How many people take advantage of salvation? Right? Sometimes we have to come to church every week just to get through the week. Somebody tell me I'm still saved. Please, please tell me I'm still saved. We need somebody else to encourage us and build us up and say, yes, you're still saved. Tell your neighbor, say, you're still saved. Yeah, we need that each week. Oh, thank God for the church. I made it through another week. It was so hard in America. We've got to say what the word says over our lives every morning because our flesh wants to fight against it. Amen? Pentecost is a pointer that restoration of all things is coming. Christ is coming back. You know what he's coming back for? His beautiful bride. You know what his bride is doing? She's making herself ready. She's making herself ready. You know what she's doing? She's not saying what she used to say. She's not doing what she used to do. She's agreeing with what he promised. And she's spending her whole day getting ready and getting the whole world ready. The earth is groaning, waiting for the second coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? We're not the ones that are just waiting, but we're preparing for him to come back. Amen? This is preparation time where we start to agree with what his word says, and then by the power of the Holy Ghost, we get to say what his word says, and then we watch whole families get changed. We get to watch people get healed of cancer in their brain. right? This is the bride making herself ready, agreeing with what he said, no matter what fire you're walking through. That's the bride making herself ready. Not saying how you feel. We are sick and tired of how you feel. Well, not really. We're just tired of you telling everybody how you feel, rather than telling everybody what the word says. Amen? How often do we spend telling, you know, you got to get right with your feelings. No, you got to get your feelings right. Because my feelings are based on what he said. You see, I don't walk in, oh good, it's a happy time. Somebody gave me a bushel basket of eggs. Oh, now I'm happy. No, joy comes every morning in the word of God. Every morning that joy will come in your house, starts to change your life. You don't get in the word and joy doesn't come and you're miserable all day long. You made a decision that your feelings or your deck that's going to rot or your plants that the rabbit's going to eat is going to be more important than you getting in the word. Because joy comes when you remind yourself of what he has done at Calvary. Joy comes when you're reminded of the power of the Holy Ghost when he dwells on the inside of you, that now nothing is impossible. That's what happens when we stand on the word of God and we stay there. The bride has to make herself ready. We got to get serious about this, though. Getting yourself ready means those that are around you also. In Revelation 19:9, it says, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. You've been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb of God. Man, look at the pomp and parade that some people get ready for to go to some goofy thing called the Grammys. Yet when it comes to this marriage supper of the Lamb, yeah. Well, we'll be ready. Well, Jesus took care of it. I don't have to do anything. I want you to know the bride has to make herself ready. This is Pentecost, amen? Acts chapter 17, verse 16 and 17. We're just going to talk about one who made himself ready. This is Apostle Paul. And in verse 16, he says, now while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him, and he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, what would this idle babbler wish to say? Others, he seems to be a proclaimer of some strange deities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. He was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And we see a couple of things. His spirit was provoked inside of him. Now, he had already been run out of the church in Thessalonica and Berea, and so now he's moved down into Greece, right? He's in Athens. Athens, Greece, at that time, was the epicenter of politics, of theology. This was the trading place. Everything was happening here. And Paul said his spirit was provoked. He was provoked because of all the idols. He was nauseated by all the idols that had been raised up in this city. All they talked about, they said it was easier in Athens at that time. One man said it was easier to find a god than it was to find a man. That's how many statues they had up. Yeah. How many idols does America have right now? Everything that distracts you from the plan of God, anything that you have given your time to more than the things of God, right? Sports is one of the biggest gods there are in America. Never used to do sports on Sunday, did we, when we were kids? No, you couldn't do it. Some of the stores were even closed. The blue laws were still in effect back then. And they closed the stores down because everybody understood the Sabbath was for the Lord. And then they said, no, let's start whittling away at that. Let's give them something they like. Let's give them something that pleases their flesh. Let's teach them this is more fun. And little by little, they opened up more stores. Little by little, now we do sports 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Church is a byproduct if there's not a game on. if there's not a game to be had somewhere else. It's not just sports. It's everything else. Some it's hunting. That's a sport. I guess it's all sports. It's whatever man has taken and said, this is what I'd rather do than serve the Lord. And so the enemy knows how to play games with us. He knows our heart's desire. I don't know, maybe some people stay home and do crossword puzzles. I don't know what yours is or was, but I want you to know when the Holy Spirit comes, he starts to tug at that stuff. He starts to tug at it and says, hang on a second, can you give me a day? Let's start out. Can you give me an hour and a half? Maybe an hour and 40 minutes. Can you give me a little bit of time on Sunday? Mom, I just want to sleep in. I'm tired. From what? We played ball all day yesterday. I worked hard Monday through Friday. Really? Did you sleep all day Saturday? Right. I don't want to get up. I don't want to be on time. Come on. Who cares if we're on time? Doesn't matter. It's the bride making herself ready. I don't want to be in prayer. We don't have to get there early for prayer. Don't get mad at me. We're just talking about basic 101 Christianity. Amen? All right. So don't give me them looks. It's scary being up here sometimes. I had a pretty family when I was saying nice things. But we say, you know, I just want to, this is Sunday. This is my time. I don't need to get there. Let's get there after it starts. And let's make sure as soon as he says amen, we're out. Honey, just keep your mouth shut, your head down, and head for the door. Don't greet anybody. Them people never shut up. They'll invite you downstairs to have lunch and donuts and everything else, and we ain't going. We're going home. Why? What do we have to get home to do? Watch the garden grow. Anything, we got to get out of here. I don't know about you, but in the beginning, that's how I was. Before I got saved, I went to the church a bunch of times. Well, not a bunch, but about six times in 8 months. And when it was over, I'm like, yeah, okay. I got there, well, before it started. I always like to be early. I just like being early. Am I allowed to share what time you showed up? Okay. No, not just because she grew up in it. And how many know when you grow up in church, sometimes it just becomes the norm? It's just church. It's just, oh, the same thing again. We're going to sing a few songs. Pastor won't shut up, and then we're going to head on home. So growing up in it, it's a different thought process from those that are coming out of darkness into it. Amen? Because to whom much has been forgiven, much is required. And so my wife, her idea of getting to church, I'd be there because I wanted to see her. So I got there 15 minutes early. And I'm standing there waiting. She came 10 minutes late. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, what? I said, church starts at whatever time it was, 10 o'clock. We're in Biloxi, Mississippi. This is the Bible Belt. They start at 10 o'clock. She said, yeah, but it's all right. And she came in at 10 after. I said, it's not all right. We have to be on time. She said, all right. Next week, she was 5 minutes late. I wanted to see her. I wanted to hang out with her more time together. But in the mind, it was, this is church. Her friends came in late. It was just what they did. Don't be coming in late. But these are things making the bride ready. Because, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes and when he fills us, then a love for God deepens. Doesn't it? When we get that, when I got that gift, then that desire deepened in my heart to give my God first place in everything. I don't know where he is in every life that's here, but I want to encourage you, if he's not first in everything, We've got to change the way that we think, because whatever principles and precepts and plan he had laid out, that's the one we're going to stand and give an account for. Amen? That's what we're going to do. So this time is about getting ourselves ready. And it's all about a love affair with the Father. It's not. It has nothing to do with the people sitting next to you. If I did things because of how everybody, how you're treated, I wouldn't be here preaching the word of God. I'd have never made it. I would have not survived in my mind, in my heart. I would have been out of here. Plumbing was much easier. But you still deal with as much, well, whatever. Well, isn't that what's in each one of our lives? That's the junk God had to get out of my life. Isn't he getting that same junk out of every one of our lives? Absolutely. But we've got to make a decision that he's first in everything. Because then the world's changed around us. We cannot complain about our city and our town if we're not going to be involved in someone else's life and bringing one into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ after another. Getting involved in the decision-making policies that are going on around us. We're the ones with, you've got wisdom that the world doesn't have. You've got understanding everywhere you walk in. But unlike the disciples at Pentecost, a lot of Christians stay in the room and they don't venture out to where we're supposed to be. Paul, he was provoked within himself, observing the city full of idols. Deuteronomy 32 and 21, it says, they have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. This is what they have done all through the Old Testament. It goes on to say, so I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. Thank God that we have an opportunity to come in. And I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. You also have done more evil than all who were before you, and have gone and made yourself other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. When we set up an idol, when we say there's something more important to me in my life than God, then what he's saying is we put him behind our back, and we're worshiping or idolizing something else. I don't know about you, but I don't want God. I don't want to put him behind my back. I want to bow before his throne and his face. I want to see him face to face every morning. Jeremiah 25, it says, do not provoke me to anger with the work of your hands. Don't be creating anything that becomes an idol on this earth, because anything that takes priority over what he's called us to do becomes an idol. And in that, it says, it provokes him to anger. He said, you shall have how many other gods before him? None. No other God. We cannot. And as the body of Christ, we need to constantly revisit that to make sure, Lord, is there anything else? Is there any child or children that I've lifted up and said, they are my priority? They take precedent over Jesus Christ. I have to make sure that they're happy all the time. They're never going to be happy all the time. Look at the parents. They're not happy all the time. Children are not going to be happy. They don't govern your life. They are gifts to our lives. We're the ones that govern them. You look at what's going on in America right now. Now the children are in control. Isn't it true? Not only have the parents backed away and tried to make sure, let's please the children. Let's make sure that they're happy. And now, hey, I want to transition. Well, let's celebrate the lie that's in their mind. And now I have to agree with them and celebrate them because, oh, I don't want to make them upset. The parents now walking afraid of saying what the word of God says over the child's life, speaking truth. So instead, we agree with a lie. This is where America is. Not here. Not in your house. Your God created you. But this is what the devil does. He sneaks in, and now we become the idol to ourselves. Man has become his own idol and says, I can do whatever I want with what God created. Wrong answer. Because one day the fulfillment of all things will stand before him. And I don't want to be one of those that stands there and says, I was too afraid to tell him the truth. Because love always tells the truth. Love always tells the truth. You agree and you agree and support a lie, you don't love them. There's no way. Yeah, but they like me. So many people want to be liked that they'll compromise everything the Word of God says and never bring deliverance to those that are in bondage. There's demonic problems going on in the world. Demons are running wild. Most churches don't even pray for people for deliverance. They don't even know how to pray for people for deliverance. There's mental problems that are out there. Always have been. Always have been. Some say they're standing at the pulpit, people with mental problems. But there's people with issues out there that we're supposed to be bringing the truth to. Unless we're afraid. Well, they might want to cancel you. Not happening. They can't cancel you. It's an impossibility. I guarantee you, when you stand up for righteousness, when you look at what's going on, look at those boys that were down there on the college campus that grabbed the flag and lifted the flag back in the air and said, you're not tearing the flag down. That's a symbol of the country that we live in. We're not changing that. Look at the support that came for those boys. A couple of young men said, I'll go against the masses and I'll hold the flag up. They started a GoFundMe page and they raised $500,000 in 2 weeks. Yeah, it's not for those boys. It's for what they're doing. You look at Buckner, right? The kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. He stood at a Catholic school, gave a commencement speech and said, I agree with what the Word of God says, that children are very valuable and I don't agree with abortion. I don't think that the LGBT community, that's what's best according to the Word of God. Some that are getting a degree, you ladies are going to go have a great career. Some of you are going to make a decision to stay home and be a mom and raise children. Whatever you decide, that would be amazing. And they ripped them to shreds. 55,000 people signed a petition to get them thrown off of the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. But his jersey is the number one selling jersey in America right now. When one man or one woman stands up for righteousness and doesn't cower and says, this is what I believe and I'm not moving from it, that's what the disciples did after the day of Pentecost. They walked out and Peter stood up and 3,000 were added to the kingdom of God. I want you to know, you can add 3,000 to the kingdom of God. All it takes is one man or one woman filled with the Holy Ghost, studying the Word of God, stand up and proclaim the Word, because the Word never stops working. And then when that Holy Ghost starts to come and people start to listen and their lives start to change and transform, you're here because someone else proclaimed. They had the courage to stand up and said, you need Jesus because you're a basket case. But they said they had the courage. You're courageous. Isn't that what he said in Joshua 1:9? Be courageous. One man said, being courageous is doing it when you're afraid. Right? You know when the Holy Ghost is leading you. Hey, pray for this one. Hey, say something this one. Oh, Lord, not that again. Every time that happens, I get weak in the knees, Lord, and I get scared. He said, just say it. Say what? Just tell him I love him. Oh, Lord. What happens if they don't agree with me? What happens if they hate me? They hated him. They're going to hate you. Say it anyway. Say it anyway. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. This is what Paul did on Mars Hill. All of the idols everywhere. Paul said, let me tell you about Jesus and the resurrection. Here, the philosophers, they got confused and thought it was two different gods. because resurrection, the Greek word is Anastasis, and they thought, oh, he's preaching about Jesus and Anastasia. All right. Here's Paul preaching something that was they hadn't heard before. And they were like, hey, bring him in. Let's hear about it. And then they said, well, let's kill him. This is what they do. This is what they do when you disagree with them. But then God kept him. God used him. God changed men and women's lives all through Greece. And the whole known world was transformed by the power of men and women that said, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I agree that God has given me a purpose. And he wrote it down before the world was ever formed. And now I'm going to act on what his word says because nothing in this world satisfies. Nothing has brought satisfaction like my God. And these men and women stood up and said, come follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Paul chased out. He was chased out of everywhere. And you know, when Paul stood before the Areopagus, and that was the council in Greece, he stood before them and they said, come on, stand before us and share Christ. You know what their job was, the council? Their job was to determine or exercise control on whatever was preached in the public setting. Sound familiar? The Areopagus is alive and well right now in America. They're trying to manipulate and control everything that is spoken, and any of your voices will be subdued in a hurry. You will not hear about the miracles every day. You will not hear about the good things that are going on. You will hear about the junk they want you to hear so they can mold and shape your mind into the mindless rats that they want you to be, where you just walk around and agree with everything and not afraid of everything and do exactly what we're told. That's what they want. But then when we read the word of God and he said, you're free indeed. Go and live your life with joy, with peace, with mercy, with grace. Love them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. When God comes in, all of a sudden our lives start to change and everything becomes new. So you've got a new lease on life this morning. All right? When we walk out of here, it's no different than them walking out of the upper room. When you walk out of here, I'm expecting some to stand up and 3,000 headed to the church. Well, six people agree with me. See, that's the problem. Oh, I don't know about that, Pastor. Neither did Peter. Peter had no idea what was about to happen when he stood up. He didn't know if he was going to be accepted or killed. But you know what? You know what the one thought he had? I don't care anymore. And when we don't care about man's opinion, everything starts to change. Amen? So this morning, because this is that day that the church was birthed, the day of Pentecost, when power came down from on high and all things became possible, Paul stood up and he spoke to all of those at Mars Hill and he proclaimed Jesus Christ. And he wasn't concerned with what happened to him. And God kept him. God kept him. I want you to know you're going to have opportunities where you'll walk into situations and you're going to share Christ and it looks like they're all going to come like this and you're going to walk right on out with no problems. With no problem. Why? Because your time is not yet. Isn't that what happened when Jesus, they were going to throw him over a cliff and it says Jesus walked right through him because he said he knew his time was not yet? You know, I know I've shared this story before. In closing, when down here by the, down on Front Street and in the apartments, me and Ram were driving back, and there was, you know, 60, 70 people all kicking the snot out of about three guys on the ground. And I said, we got to help them. And we pulled right on in, and Ram was like, are you sure we should do this? And I said, yeah, we got to help these guys. They're going to kill them. We jumped out of the truck, and we just started walking towards the first group that was beating the snot out of this one guy, and they all just parted. And they just left, and we helped that guy up. And we went to the next group, and there was 30 of them beating this other guy. Everywhere we walked, everybody just parted, and they let him up. Nobody said a word to us. The guys that were getting beat up, they drug them into their houses. And then the guys that were doing the beating, their girlfriends, were pulling them into their apartments. Come on. And he's saying, hold me back, hold me. Yeah, whatever. You got your girlfriend holding you back. You're a real man. But everywhere we walked, everybody dispersed. I want you to know the authority and the power that you have is beyond your understanding, because it came from eternity, from a God that created the worlds. He created you and me, and he's just looking for men and women to stand up. And I want you to know, when you stand for him, he changes everything. Your family changes when you stand on the word of God and you do not violate it. You do not say, I'm afraid, I just don't want to offend my child. You're going to offend them. The word of God is offensive to your natural mind and mine. Amen? It was. But God's got a plan, something bigger. And this world is screaming, please, somebody show us the way. Somebody show us the way. Somebody show us the way. That's you. They're crying out. The ones that are getting ready to jump off the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. They jump off of it every year. Many of them. They're looking for you to say, hey, step off here. I want to show you. I want to give you the words of life. The ones that are looking, getting ready to overdose. There was a lady down on Warren Street this morning. She was in a wheelchair. I think her name was Betty. I never met her before. She was in a wheelchair just picking up things on the street. And I just went and walked over to her. The Holy Spirit said, just go pray for her. And I walked over to Betty. Never seen her. I said, good morning, ma'am. And she says, good morning. She said, you in the military? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I was a long time ago. She said, I thought so. I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord? And she says, yeah. I said, can I pray for you? She said, yeah. So I just got to lay my hands on her in a wheelchair and just pray for her and encourage her. And I said, we've got church up here at 10 o'clock today. We'd love to have you. And she said, where is it? And I told her again. And she didn't come. But see, the issue is not her coming. The issue is me obeying the Holy Ghost. The issue is not the outcome. The issue is the obedience. That's what the disciples did when they stepped out of the upper room. They went out and they obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. And they started to proclaim it, and God brought them in all different places. And there was all kinds of fire and persecution in their lives. But they stood before the Lord, the bride, making themselves ready. Amen? There's a world that's out there that's hurting, and you're the answer. You're the answer because of the Christ on the inside of you and the power of the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of you. So this morning, I just want to encourage you, when we walk out of here, we walk out of here victorious. We walk out of here, powerful, strong, mighty, nothing lacking, loved. And the reason that God has created for your life is to glorify him. The reason for your life, your creation, is to glorify him. Let's stand up this morning. Samuel, you give Charlotte anything she wants. Stop making that girl cry. You're the picture of a changed life. You're the picture of a changed life. You're here because your life has been changed. Now it's time to proclaim that transformation everywhere you go, so that someone else's life is snatched out of darkness. It's pulled out of the dregs. And they're set free. That's what the disciples did. Men and women being filled with the Holy Ghost changed people's lives. We're called to change people's lives today. Amen? When you walk out of here, you're to change people's lives. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the men and women in this house. Lord, I thank you that as the body of Christ, Lord, we're not walking aimlessly. We're not walking in fear. We're not walking in confusion. Lord, we're walking according to your word. We're walking according to what you said. Father, that today, for those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we're walking as a people who've been washed in the power of your blood. We're walking as a people who've been filled with the Holy Ghost. We're walking as a people who have vision and who have purpose. We're walking as people who have been made whole in the name of Jesus. We're walking out of here as sons and daughters, where every curse has been broken over our lives and we truly are free indeed. When we walk out of here today, Father, we're going to glorify you. We're going to pick up our cross and we're going to follow you wherever that leads. Lord, I pray that as we walk out of here, that we would be so in tune with your voice that when you simply speak, go left, we go left. When you say sit down, we sit down. When you say wait, we wait. And Lord, we look for that one more that's going to be changed by the power of your love. So Father, I thank you for the body of Christ right now. And I pray your blessing upon each and every one. Father, as your word says, this is that day, Pentecost. It's a day of power and fire. Lord, let it be that power would be infused into each one right now. And the fire of God, not only burning away the chaff, but preaching with fire, praying with fire, living that life, oh God, as men and women madly in love with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us what our God has spoken over our lives. Thank you for reminding us of what he has done. And he said, you can do these and even greater. Lord, let it bring back to our remembrance constantly all the words of life and life more abundantly. Let him lead us. We surrender today. And Lord, we give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.